mail for the kitty. Oh, Sprinkles, come here. You've got a delivery. Meowbox.com is a subscription crate service that is designed for our kitty friends and mine. Meowbox.com offers a selection of hand-picked tasty treats and new good foods and some fun little toys for them to enjoy. Meowbox.com donates a can of food to local animal and rescue shelters on your behalf when you sign up. A variety of different subscription options can be found at Meowbox.com, and don't forget to use promo code GEEK10 to get 10% off your first subscription. Isn't that great, Sprinkles? Mail that comes to the door, and it's just for you. Meowbox.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net. Hey, guys, what's going on? You're listening to the Nerd News Network, and welcome, coincidentally, to the 9th anniversary of This Week in Geek. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Today is Saturday, January 30th, 2016, and I'm glad to be here today. I would have been here yesterday, but I had a monster of a headache. I'm pretty sure Thor's hammer, Mjolnir, was rattling around inside my head, so I took the day off. Feeling pretty chipper today, and we have a fairly exciting show for you today, I think. Anyway, we have two reviews we're actually going to do in this episode. We're going to be reviewing some headphones, the Aftershocks Games bone conducting headphones, and a movie coming to us from Warner Brothers, The 33, starring Antonio Banderas. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on in the show. But I wanted to give you guys an update on what's going on with the topic show. Now, we were going to do a tribute to Alan Rickman, but it has just been a month full of death, I'll be quite honest with you, and we wanted to do something a little bit happier, so we're waiting on Andrew Roebuck to get his schedule, and me, him, and Ryan are going to be talking about Patton Oswalt, a pretty funny stand-up comedian. If you've ever had a chance to check out his work, he's got several CDs, but also has done a lot of work in television and animation. So if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if you've seen the movie Ratatouille, he was even in the television show United States of Terra. So he's done a lot of good stuff. He's a really, really funny guy, and we're going to talk about him, hopefully early next week, depending. Hopefully you've had a chance to check out Mayhem Mike's with me, Blanchard, and Ryan, where we talked about the Royal Rumble as we build up going towards Fastlane for WWE. Well, the Rumble certainly was a thing, so go back and check that out. Also, I was on Altered Geek this past week with Steve Megatron Phillips, which reminds me, there may be some downtime in the next week or so. We are finally going to be moving the website in the next couple days, we think. So if Twig goes down for any reason, Mike at ThisWeekInGeek.net. Always appreciate you people reaching out to me and letting me know what is going on, so we can keep the website running and make you, the people, happy. Also, finally, in housekeeping announcements, the show that I work with for Chorus Radio, Video Game Sophistry on AM 640, you can now hear that. If you go to am640.com, or I'll put a link down below, Sunday nights at 7 p.m., and typically they'll run one of my reviews during the show. I reviewed Resident Evil Resident Evil Zero HD. I did a review for Mario and Luigi Paper Jam. So hopefully I'm in this week's show. I'm not entirely sure yet. Then I'm working on Lego's Marvel's Avengers. And I think that's pretty much about it. I've got some stuff coming up for Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm coming up. I got the new Digimon PS4 exclusive and some other stuff. So that'll be probably on there and on Rad, which I'll probably, my first game of the year, I'm kind of thinking Street Fighter V, because that's the game I probably give the most of a crap about coming out in the next few weeks. So hopefully I'll get that from Capcom, so be looking for that. Alright, so what are we going to be talking about today? Well, in today's episode, we're going to talk about a completely unnecessary reboot happening at DC Comics, and not what you might think. All I'm going to say is, zoinks, $75,000 of Magic cards have gone missing. We're also going to talk about the new Battlefront DLC for the new Battlefront game that came out back in November, as we finally have an idea on what the season's past finally looks like. And finally, we're going to talk about The X-Files, and not the TV show which has recently come back, which is actually pretty okay, actually, so far. But we're going to talk about how the CIA, through the Freedom of Information Act, has sent out some documents officially relating to UFO incidents in the 40s and 50s. And then, like I said, we're going to talk about the Aftershocks Games bone-conducting headphones and my brief review of the 33 from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. Okay, so in completely unnecessary reboots, DC Comics happens to own Hanna-Barbera. Or, well, more accurately, Warner Brothers owns DC Comics and Hanna-Barbera. So you get, like, Scooby-Doo, like... I'm trying to think of other Hanna-Barbera characters, like the Herculoids, Johnny Quest, that sort of thing, right? A lot of classic 60s and 70s cartoons, and I honestly enjoy the vast majority of them. Actually, I'm a huge fan of Wacky Races. So, it was announced earlier this week that DC Comics and Hanna-Barbera are going to be working together. And a promo image has shown up by artist Jim Lee, who's done a lot of work for the X-Men and other books over the years, including Batman. And I'm going to link this image below because it is so beyond stupid that it literally defies explanation. So as you're looking at it right now, hopefully, you will see Scooby Apocalypse. Not making that up. So as you can see, we have... the hipster-looking Shaggy, we have G.I. Joe-looking Fred here, we got Scarlet slash Danger Girl, Daphne, and what looks like a mini version of Velma with cyborged Scooby-Doo. I can't make this up. It looks like they're fighting some Lovecraftian horror in this image, and it looks so weird. And to the point of completely unnecessary. Like, I don't know. Now, they're also going to be doing some other stuff. They're going to be doing stuff with the Flintstones. And it looks... the best way to describe this is they look more like real-life people as opposed to the caricatures that we saw on the Hanna-Barbera cartoon. It just looks odd. And, like to the point where it looks completely unnecessary. I don't know how else to describe that. It looks weird. Now, one of the really cool ones is actually starring Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, the Herculoids, Frankenstein Jr., the Impossibles, Birdman, the Galaxy Trio, and Mitor, and it actually looks kind of awesome, actually. So, it's, the artwork that you see, I'm actually going to link the article so you guys can actually see everything, is by Darwin Cook, and it looks very much in line, with the guy who, did the designs for these, which is Alex Toth. It looks kind of cool. I'm actually admitting it's really cool to see the Herculoids and Space Ghost and Birdman and all that stuff, and I'm not just saying that. But no, it looks legit kind of cool, and depending on how they approach this, could be kind of awesome. So I actually may check this book out when it comes out. The Flintstones one, not so much. Now, Wacky Races, you might remember from, like, you know, I'm trying to figure out how you guys would know this. It was always a segment on the Cartoon All-Stars or whatever it was, and it was always them in their ridiculous vehicles going from one place to another, and there was that Snidely Whiplash or whatever the hell it is. I don't know. I just enjoyed the cartoon when I was a kid. Honestly, I didn't learn any of their names, but I think Secret Squirrel was, like, one of them or something. But either way, this looks like Wacky Raceland, and it looks like friggin' Fury Road. There's no other way to describe this. I'm looking at the artwork here. Obviously, super powerful cars, but I see chain guns and other ridiculous things, and what looks like war boys on the side of this vehicle. I don't know. I mean, obviously, with Wacky Races, yeah, it makes sense to rip off Mad Max, because it's so hot right now, but still, this looks like three quarters of a bad idea. The only one that even looks remotely interesting is Future Quest. There's actually another really cool piece of art where it's got Mr. Quest, Johnny, Haji, the dog person, and the Herculoids, like, all charging towards you, like, or the camera or whatever. It looks really cool. So, like I said, I'm kind of looking forward to this. I'm kind of terrified we'll get, you know, something like Jabberjaw or, like, I don't know. Man, why couldn't they do, like, Hong Kong Phooey or something? I don't know. Either way, this looks, like I said, three-quarters of a stupid idea. We'll have to wait and see, though. Okay, so a store in Austin got robbed, Pat's Games, and it got robbed by two men. And evidently, these guys are knew exactly what they were going for. And what they did is around 1 a.m., they went inside and stole $75,000 worth of Magic the Gathering cards from display cabinets. So this is like a nerd heist, more or less. Now, they were very fortunate enough that the robbery was caught on the closed-circuit television cameras. So once again, I'm going to post a link to this so you guys can actually check this out. But it's actually kind of funny. The owner of the store, Pat Johnson, had said the Austin Police Department is actually putting a Magic player on the case, as they usually do with the residential kind of burglaries. Now, evidently, what they're speculating is that at least one of the men is a local Magic player and store customer, because it only took him, quote, 20 seconds to go in and find our highest dollared cards. So that's kind of insane, just to think about how valuable Magic cards are. And these things, I mean, I'm even trying to think where he could sell these things where he couldn't get caught. I mean, you'd have to wait for a convention to pop up, or, well, considering this happened in Austin, well, PAX South is happening right now. So if they're smart, they're probably going to be detectives on the floor at PAX watching any Magic sales. And I know that's a stretch to ask for, but if I stole a bunch of cards, that'd be one place I could do it, because you could probably do it fairly gray market and no one's going to notice, especially if you keep it quiet. But then again, if someone offers you a $5,000 card for like $1,000, you know what? Someone's going to notice, because someone's going to brag somewhere. So anyway, hopefully they identify these thieves and they get caught. Okay. So next story, Star Wars Battlefront DLC. So when Star Wars Battlefront came out last year, I myself was not a huge fan of it, mostly because I felt you could play everything the game had to offer via that EA Access program, which lets you play the game for up to, I don't know, 24 hours or whatever, by using this subscription service. I got it for Christmas from my in-laws, and I was really excited for it. And then I kind of ran out of steam. I don't even think I fired up a game in like over a month and a half. But finally, they've announced the DLC. So they're going to be dropping some new stuff. So in the free content you get, the Tatooine Survival Map, which will now support Blast, Droid Run, Drop Zone, Hero Hunt, and Heroes and Villains multiplayer modes, and it's called Raider Camp. You get new Hoth-themed outfits for Luke and Han, which are now available when you play on Hoth, but you could get them unlocked if they did the Heroes Holiday mission, which was in December. Finally, the ability to create private matches, because whatever. And you also get the introduction of community events and daily challenges, which allow you to basically, it's kind of like how in other games, like here, get X amount of kills with this weapon, community will unlock a new skin or something like that. There's going to be a new survival mission, which will be added to Hoth. And that's, they're going to include this new multiplayer map, which will give you a new map for Walker, Assault Supremacy, Fighter Squadron, and Turning Point. So here's what they're saying. So over between now and 2017, this is when they're hoping to support this game up until, you get Star Wars Battlefront Outer Rim. And I'm going to read the official descriptions here. Fight among the factories of Sullust and battle within Jabba the Hutt's palace on Tatooine. Star Wars Battlefront Bespin. It's the hunt or be hunted in this action-packed experience set in the cloud city of Bespin. Star Wars Battlefront Death Star, Fall 2016. That's No Moon, one of the most iconic locations in the Star Wars universe, makes its debut in Star Wars Battlefront, and Starfront Battlefront Expansion 4, titled to be determined early 2017. I think there's so many missed opportunities here in terms of what they're offering. I mean, Outer Rim, the Factory of Sullust, and Jabba's Palace. Like, honestly, they really should patch in prequel content. And I know people are like, no, but no, seriously, give me the clone troopers. Let me fight not just in the factories of Sullust. Let me fight in the factories of Geonosis. Or give me, like, the streets of Naboo or something. Or, I don't know, the platforms of Kamino, like the original Battlefront games. If you could patch in that content, then maybe the Season's Pass might be worth it. But then again, $50 for Season's Pass, and you're only getting, like, a couple of new maps and some new characters, I'm not exactly blown away. I probably am not going to get this. I will ask EA to supply me with a Season's Pass, but I'm not optimistic in this regard. I'm trying to think of other things I could add in. I mean, I know through some of the balancing and patching, they've nerfed Boba Fett, they've nerfed the Falcon, and they've nerfed Slave One. I don't know what else they could add. I mean, they could maybe put in some of the, I guess, new trilogy content if you wanted to have maybe expand what happened on Jakku and give us First Order stormtroopers versus the Republic Resistance group with, I don't know, Poe Dameron's X-Wing fighting, I don't know, Captain Phasma or something. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing here. But I don't know. Just it seems to me like this Season's Pass is not offering a lot to you. And like I said, even $50, that's asking a lot. At 30, that's not so bad. I would pay that. But EA and money, they kind of go hand-in-hand, kind of like Capcom. We'll just have to kind of wait and see what happens with that. Okay, so final story this week, actual news bit. So the CIA has declassified a bunch of documents. So evidently, I'm actually going to read a quote here, and I hate using this website, but it was probably one of the better ones I found on this. From FoxNews.com, to help navigate the vast amount of data contained in our Freedom of Information Act UFO collection, we've decided to highlight a few documents both skeptics and believers will find interesting, explained the CIA. Most of these UFO documents are primarily, like I said, from the 1940s and 50s, and they're among hundreds that the CIA declassified in 1978. Now, I'm also going to include a link to the CIA's website, so I hope you don't have anything to hide. They have highlighted five documents they think X-Files character Fox Mulder would love to try and persuade others of the existence of extraterrestrial activity. And they've also pulled five documents that we think his skeptical partner, Dana Scully, could prove there is a scientific explanation for the UFO sightings. The Mulder documents include a 1952 reports of flying saucers over East Germany, Spain, and North Africa, as well as a survey of UFO reports from that same year. There's also a 1952 report of two fiery disks flying over a uranium mine in the then Belgian Congo, and the minutes of a CIA branch chief's meeting discussing UFOs. One of the reports from East Germany says an object resembling a huge frying pan and having a diameter of about 15 meters or about 50 feet, give or take. The object landed in a forest clearing in Germany's Soviet zone, according to the report. Another one is a smoke trailing object over Barcelona and an unusual object emitting pale green light over the Tunisian city of Sousse, are described in the report from Spain in North Africa. Interesting stuff. Although I was watching something today on YouTube, it was from YouTuber Rob Dyke, and I think the show's called Question Everything, and he's like, aliens, are they real, whatever. And I myself am a very big believer in aliens, and even one of our Canadian ministers of defense has come out and said, yeah, there's like 80 species of aliens living on Earth right now. Do I believe that? I don't know 80, but I could very well believe we are in contact with them and they're keeping it secret because of, well, worldwide panic. I mean, how would you react, truthfully? And I kind of compare it to historical examples of, well, myself being native, let's just say when the Europeans came over, it didn't work out so well for my people. And if you want to draw another pop culture comparison to that, think of the movie Independence Day. And the aliens are the Europeans, and we are the Indians, so to speak. Didn't work out too well for us either. So, and that's not to say every alien species is going to be hostile, but we don't know, right? So that would change religion, it would change philosophy, it would change perception, and it would change economic conditions. And Rob Dyke quoted, I can't remember who he did in his video, I'll post that down below, and he said, it would prove that the government cannot protect us. And I don't know, that's a very interesting way to kind of think about it. I never would have really thought about it. But if we come across a technologically superior species, I don't know. But once again, another theory that I've heard is if you look at all the alien stuff we've seen in popular culture, well, pretty much since the 1950s, we just kind of accept aliens as something. It's a thing. So it's almost like cultural conditioning to get us used to the idea. And with NASA saying they're going to find life on other planets probably in the next 15 years, if not sooner, it's kind of like they're slowly building up the generations to say, okay, one day, guys, you know what? We are not alone, to a point when we are ready to accept that. Now, do I believe there's a huge cabal of international conspirators to keep this quiet? I don't know, because you have to wonder if some of the outlier countries, like, I don't know, I'm just going to randomly pick one. Let's say South Korea had something happen to them, and they said, okay, guys, this shit's real. And all the governments of the world are like, no. And North Korea says, okay, or North Korea, South Korea's like, okay, here's everything we have, bam. You have to wonder, because I know some of the reports I've seen come out of different countries, think of them what you will, people are like, I don't know, that seems a little too official to be just kind of made up. Even in the WikiLeaks stuff, there's stuff about kind of UFOs, if you dig deep enough. So, I don't know, make up your own mind with these declassified X-Files, so to speak. Do you believe in little green men? I don't know. Tell me, I would love to hear from you. So, Mike@thisweekingeek.net or feedback@thisweekingeek.net, would love to hear your thoughts on this. In fact, I almost might revisit a topic we did years ago. I talked with Alejandro from MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, years ago. And I kind of wouldn't mind revisiting that, or maybe doing a tribute show to the king of late night radio, Art Bell. So we'll talk about that later. Okay, so I promised you guys two reviews for this show. And the first review I'm going to do is I got sent these just before Christmas. And they are the Aftershocks Games bone conducting headphones. I got two pairs, so I blind tested a pair with my friend's husband, Matt. I'm like, hey, Merry Christmas, tell me what you think in a few weeks. Didn't tell him I got them for review because I wanted him to, like, give me an honest opinion without it being influenced. So I'm like, all right, great, cool, awesome. And then I've had Blair, my wife, use them as well, and I've had a chance to experiment with them as well. And what these things use this wireless bonus conduction technology. They sit behind your head, and they're meant to leave your actual ear open. So they use the sound to they send sound directly to your cochlea. I think that's how you pronounce it. And it's interesting. It's interesting to say the very least. Now, the problem with these headphones that I experience, and same with Matt, is unless you have a small head, they don't really kind of work. And just because they're not very comfortable. But I do think it's cool because they kind of use the same technology that they use for, like, deaf people and the cochlear implants, where they transmit sound through your cheek and into your jaw, so it entirely bypasses the ear canal. And I don't know, it's not bad because like I said, the technology, it works. Just the headphones themselves, I guess, have to be built to a specific specification for it to actually work. If there was, like, an adjustable band, so to speak, like with, like, certain headphones, you can make them bigger or smaller. Or if they had a bigger headset itself. Like, I myself primarily use a set of Astro A30s for most of my editing and pretty much day-to-day audio work, or I use my Mad Catz Freaks, which are also wireless Bluetooth 3.0 headphones. Now, these things also have a headset in them for phone calls. Matt seemed to like it. Blair seemed to like it. Range of these things is about 30 feet. That's how far we got in our house before we started getting signal loss. And I... these things, they want $100 for them. And I don't know if I can necessarily recommend that, because you get, out of a charge, you get 10 hours of standby and about 6 hours of playtime. Recharging takes about 2 hours, give or take. And the thing that I don't like, it's the headset itself. If these headsets were a little bit bigger, maybe. Now, we also gave these to my friend Kelly's kids, because they have smaller heads, and they liked them. But they, because, well, they obviously have a smaller head than, say, we do. So, after playing, I played a couple of playlists on my Spotify through my, like, iPad with these. Blair and I did a few phone calls back and forth with them. And at $100, I don't think I can recommend these particular ones. And it's mostly because of comfort, primarily. Now, if you have a smaller head, then maybe these are the headphones for you. They don't easily slip off. There is a tension band that you can do it to, but if, like I said, if you got a bigger head, not so much. I did find a way to wear them, but it wasn't conducting the sound exactly as I would have liked. It was a little bit muffled, but when Blair had them, they were conducting through her ears almost perfectly. So I might say, wait until the Aftershocks people develop a new version of these that's maybe a little bit more adjustable and see what happens with them. But right now, if you truly are dead set on picking these up, you can go to thinkgeek.com, pick them up for about $100 USD right now, and see what you think there. Okay, so finally, I'm going to give you my quick review of a movie called The 33. So this doesn't come out physically until the 16th, but you can get it on digital VOD on February 2nd. And The 33, it's a story, if you guys remember, about 5-6 years ago, there was a mining accident in Chile where basically 33 people got trapped basically like a couple miles underground, so to speak. Or as they put it in the movie, the density of two Empire State Buildings stands between them and the outside world. It was a very precarious situation. So these 33 miners got trapped under in the mine. They got to this place called a refuge, which was stocked with food and water, but they only had enough stuff for 3 days. They managed to survive for about 16 days on that 3-day supply among 33 of them. Like, they were getting like thimbles full of stuff, just enough to stop dehydration, more or less. Because food you can go without for a long time. Dehydration, that'll kill you. They even figured out how to make filters and stuff like that. And it wasn't until the Chilean government more or less said, hey man, we got to do something. We can't have these people die on national television, that everybody got kind of mobilized. And the Minister of Mining was really passionate about saving these people. So they consulted with NASA. They got like the best drilling teams from the US, Canada, Brazil. And it's an actually fairly decent movie, I would say. It's got performances by Antonio Banderas, Josh Brolin, and a bunch of people whose names I recognize, but I can't remember any specific roles they've been from. Although one of the bad guys from Daredevil is in this. The guy who used to talk to Madame Gao a lot. I'm going to forget, but anyway. But yeah, so he plays one of the, I kind of wonder if that was the, no, that can't be. Although there's another guy in this movie who looks a lot like Justin Trudeau, which is the Canadian current prime minister. And I actually kept calling him that during the movie when I was watching this with Blair. I'm like, oh, and Justin Trudeau saves the day again. But another surprising person in this was Lou Diamond Phillips. Big fan of his. Been a fan of his since, like, La Bamba, like, back in, like, I think 1986. But it's a good movie. As it chronicles the 70 days these guys survived, because eventually, on, like, day 16 or 18, Chile was able to get through to them, pretty much because the Chilean mining guy, because he wasn't a miner himself, he didn't think like one. He's like, well, if the drill bit's going to go this way, why not try it the other way? He's like, well, because then we'll miss it because of deviation, right? Because the drill bit moves as you go through harder and harder stuff. And he's like, yeah, that's the idea. You're aiming to miss. He's like, I never thought of it like that. And that's how they discovered them in the kind of refuse. So eventually they get like a 5-inch tube. They stick stuff down. They can start taking down food, water, medical supplies. Eventually they get like iPods. They get like video conferencing. And this is all real. You can actually watch a lot of this on YouTube if you want to see the real version of it. But overall, I was fairly entertained by this movie. It's not necessarily for everybody, because it does get a little slow in places, but Antonio Banderas holds your attention enough as pretty much the lead in this movie to really, really make you connect with the plight of these people, because I can't imagine being trapped in an almost certain death situation and never losing hope that something was going to happen, that you would eventually get out of this quote-unquote deep shit you're in. So, where this movie as a package falls apart is the special features. You get what are essentially three or four minute fluff pieces on, are they called? I'm actually just going to look them up right now, so I have them right in front of me. You get, let me see. You get the theatrical trailer, so whoopee-doo. But you also get something called The Mind Collapse and the 33 The World Was Watching. And they're basically just PR fluff pieces explaining, yeah, it was really bad and reasons, and we had spent a lot of money on special effects. Now, this movie had such an opportunity to go technical. A commentary, if the person spoke really good English, would have been wonderful to actually hear from Antonio Banderas' character, who I think was named Mario, to hear his real experiences, or to have the Chilean Minister of Energy, mining, if he wasn't busy, stuff like that, or to get scientists, get me some people from the U.S. Geological Survey, give me a documentary. Actually, I'm really surprised there even wasn't a director's commentary track for this, or, like I said, a commentary at all. Like, if they had even licensed to get one of the documentaries, I think PBS did one on this. This could have been so interesting. Like, this movie, because Blair has a background in geology and geography, made it 10 times more interesting for me, because she's talking about some of the mining stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, that's cool. Why is this not here? So, the 33. Would I recommend buying it? No. Would I recommend seeing it? Absolutely. So if you have an opportunity to watch this through video on demand, or you could wait for it to show up on something like, say, Netflix. But I'm going to say check this movie out. I'm kind of hoping they might do a different edition down the road, which will include additional special features, because I don't even remember this movie being advertised at all. But if you have an interest in a true life story that actually surprisingly has a happy ending, then I might recommend you check out the 33 coming to us from Warner Brothers. Okay, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for me. So what's coming up this weekend? Well, I do have a botched role coming up tomorrow called, well, I didn't plan for that. So that should be coming up late tomorrow. I also have, I'm recording Star Wars with the Terrible Warriors tomorrow, because I think the last episode of Embers of the Jedi drops on Monday or Tuesday. So we'll have that coming up. Me and Jamie are getting a new prototype ready. He just recently moved. So we're trying to get that figured out. And, yeah. Sorry, got gas. And I'd rather not burp in your ear, because people always yell at me for that. So anyway, until next time, guys, I've been Mike the Birdman Dog. Keep it locked here to ThisWeekInGeek.net. Later on this week for our topic show, I'm Patton Oswalt. And until next time, guys, live free or die hard.
Ah! Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face.
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? That 10 seconds.
You gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Whoa, my God, whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.